I'd like to call the May 28th regularly scheduled meeting to order. Request a moment of silence followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call, Joel.
Okay, roll call, Mark Sattler.
Present.
Bo Miller.
Present.
Dave Bench.
Present.
Motion, roll call complete.
You gotta hustle.
Okay. Approval of the minutes from May 14th, 2019.
So moved.
I looked over them. I didn't see anything in there, so I can second that.
Okay, roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried.
Okay, fiscal officer's report.
In the pile of papers, as usual, payment listing, fund status report, and deposits made since last meeting. Fund status report on the checking account, $223,425.40. And in Star, Ohio, $586,112.05. Payments since last meeting till tonight, warrant numbers 17648 through 17686, totaling $14,933.23. And then deposits, 2 cents last meeting, totaling $26,145.08, with $18,600 being for your FLAP grant reimbursement.
I see, 18, we finally got it.
That's, yeah, very good.
Yeah. Took them long enough.
Okay, how long ago was that, Dave?
Oh, gosh, we've been waiting this for over a year.
I can move to approve the
and that's 519 too. It's never been long
fiscal
ago.
Officer's report, the payment listings, warrant number 17648 through 17686, totaling $14,933.23.
I'll second that.
Okay, roll call. Dave Bench?
Yes.
Mark Sattler?
Yes.
Bo Miller?
Yes.
Motion carried. Okay. I don't know if this is in old business or new business.
Fire levy?
No.
Oh.
Road and bridge levy. Let's just do that now. So for the road and bridge levy, the 2 mil road and bridge levy that we certified in April's meeting, we now have to make a resolution and send this resolution along with the certification, which is included from the county fiscal county auditor's office, sending a resolution onto the Board of Elections to place the levy renewal on the ballot of 2 mils. This November 5th. So in your binder clip packet is the certificate of estimated property tax revenue. That's from the county auditor. You can see Ms. Lopez's signature there. Please take a moment to look through that. That's certifying the life of the levy and how much money will be brought in. The second page is the how they came up with that number. And then, of course, the last two pages are the original resolution to allow the county auditor to certify those funds. And then the very first page is the resolution that we send on to the Board of Elections to have them do whatever they do to get it on the ballot. I got some takeaways according to the county auditor's office. The total valuation is $68 million, and two mills will give us $87,033. I read that correctly from them. Yep, so number two, the estimated property tax revenue is calculated $87,033 throughout the life of the levy.
Per year?
Throughout the life of the levy is calculated $87,033.
On a per year basis, right?
It's gotta be.
Well, look at the number two, it says throughout the life of the levy. So we go to the second page. Total revenue, $87,033.
Yeah, it's gotta be per year, because it's saying the tax valuation of the subdivision remains constant.
$17,400.
It's gotta be $87,000.
No, per year.
Yes, I think it's implied.
Yeah. So you got kind of worded weird there.
The wording can throw you.
Yes.
That's what they say. So if you guys accept that, then we shall tell the County Board of Elections to proceed. So looking for a motion. And really with this, remember how we read this whole thing last time. Obviously, it's probably important we do that again.
Oh, yeah.
Just to be from this.
You want me to read that? Make a resolution to proceed to place a renewal levy for the purpose of general construction, reconstruction, resurfacing, and repair of streets, roads, and bridges in Jerusalem Township on the November 5th, 2019 ballot. The Jerusalem Township Board of Trustees met at 7 p.m. for the regular meeting on, I guess we have to say, what, May?
May 28th,
with the following members present: Mark Sadler, Dave Bench, Bo Miller. I guess Trustee Dave Bench moved the adoption of the following resolution. Should I read the rest too? Okay, whereas a resolution declaring the necessity of levying a renewal tax under RC 5705.19 outside the 10 mil limitation will be insufficient to provide an adequate amount for the necessary requirements of Jerusalem Township, Lucas County, Ohio. Whereas the Board of Trustees has passed a resolution of necessity to place a 2 mil renewal levy on November 5th, 2019 ballot at the regular Board of Trustees meeting on April 23rd, 2019. Whereas the Board of Trustees have received the necessary certification of revenue for the renewal levy from the Lucas County Auditor, be it. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the Board of Trustees of all members elected thereto occurring that it is necessary to levy the renewal tax in excess of the 10 mil limitation for the benefit of Jerusalem Township for the purpose of the general construction, reconstruction, resurfacing, and repair of streets, roads, and bridges in municipal corporations, counties, and townships at a rate of 2 mils for each $1 of valuation, which amounts to no dollars and 20 cents for each $100 of valuation for a period of 5 years. Be it further resolved that the renewal tax levy is placed upon the tax list of the current tax year commencing in 2019, first due in the calendar year 2020, in compliance with Ohio Revised Code Section 5705.19. If a majority of the electors voting therefore vote in favor of thereof, be it further resolved that the question of such a renewal tax levy shall be submitted to the electors of Jerusalem Township. The election to be held therein on Tuesday, November 5th, 2019. And be it further resolved that the fiscal officer is hereby directed to certify a copy of the resolution along with Lucas County Auditor's certificates to the Board of Elections, Lucas County, Ohio, not less than 90 days before the general election on November 5th, 2019, and notifying the Board of Elections to cause the notice of election on the question of leveling tax to be given as a matter of law. Who's going to second it?
I'll second
that. Trustee Mark Sadler seconded the motion, and the roll being called upon its adoption, the vote results as following.
Okay, roll call. Mark Sadler.
Yes.
Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Motion carried. Okay. Any questions on that?
Do you want us to sign off on Dave's as the original?
I'll get it here from you guys.
Okay.
Before you
go. All right. Very good. Thanks.
Get along to that. Last thing is the something I received today. Do you remember in 2015 we had an issue with the IRS and on payment for taxes? So I received a letter in today's mail from the IRS, and I just wanted to make sure this is. Everybody knows about this because it saying we still may have a penalty of $10,920. I have to call and find out. They did say that when I did contact them that it reduced the penalty from 15 down to 10, but it's stating because we did not file our federal. However, I'll just read it from here. However, the Social Security Administration does not have any record that you previously filed your W-2 forms for the 2015 tax year. So I have to contact them and find out what exactly that is about. So I do not know.
You would have thought that would have got caught.
Well, yeah, it just takes them 3 years to.
Yeah, 3 years.
So we'll hear more next meeting. Okay, thank you.
I hope it's good news, too.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Yeah.
The last thing is
Joel.
Yeah.
We got a question.
Yeah.
Jim.
If you're talking a fine of $10,000 to $15,000, for what purpose was somebody in that position that didn't file that paperwork? And why not?
So
where were the trustees overseeing this? I know
some
of them aren't here, but that's not a small change.
No, and the original notice I received was none of the W-2s were turned in to the IRS at the
and
end of the year.
For what reason? Was there a secretary treasurer that was responsible for that?
You know, I wasn't here for that, but I can tell you that I sent them the required documentation. They needed W-2s and the 941 form, which. So what I don't understand is the Social Security part, right? So when I understand what they're saying, but I have to find out if it's just records that I need to send. That would rectify that.
That's up so.
Yeah, because I don't know if there's still a penalty for late filing, because that'd be quite a bit.
Right.
You know.
Right.
It's and then they say in this letter that it is for every W-2 that is filed late, there's a $260 fee. So.
So that implies that the withholding was paid.
But
the reconciliation submission of the W-2s did not occur.
Yeah.
And my question continues, were we paying somebody to take care of the business that failed to take care of it?
Yeah. So my concern is definitely to rectify this. And I understand what I have to do. There's a lot of steps you go throughout the year to report this and stuff, but obviously, you pay throughout the year, and at the end of the year, you send in all your forms, and then they look to see if you paid enough in taxes or not enough in taxes. And obviously, if it's not enough, a couple years later, you get a notice saying you didn't pay enough in taxes.
And we're just at 2015. So you got 16.
So I'm hoping 17. That it's just a matter of you're just missing documentation which shows you didn't pay anything into Social Security. Based on
but I guess
records.
The follow up and the end of my question
is
In business, heads roll.
Yeah.
In government, we just say, well, he didn't do it. Is that what happens, or we just say, well, that person isn't here? How'd they go?
Should be financial responsibility put back on that person.
I mean, he has a fiduciary responsibility to receive pay to do that. He or she, I don't really know, to be honest with you. Should be fine. Just because this is local government on a small scale, do we just say, well, we'll just pay the $10,000?
Well, no, they were, I don't pay any of that. I don't pay any of that.
At one point, he was bonded. We're all bonded now. I just don't know if.
You have submitted to the bonding.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
We'll
see what happens. Right.
We should be able to go back to the bonding if that does, if it did.
Well, I would hope we follow through on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 10,000, yeah. Yeah.
So hoping that it's just a matter of, like, the original notice from the IRS was the 15 late fees, so. Last thing I wanted to, since I have the floor, I guess, the audit for 2017 and 2018, there's one more thing that has to be done prior to them completing and sending their findings to us as a board, and I have to just make sure you guys all know about this because I have to acknowledge it at a public meeting. Okay.
So I'm sorry, before we leave the last topic, I do have a quick question. When did the 2015 audit occur?
Before I was here.
And can we go back and look at that audit report to see if the external auditor identified this oversight as part of the audit?
Yeah, what I can see what they do is they verify that forms were submitted. Like, mm-hmm. what for 17 and 18, they asked me, prove to me that you submitted those 941s. Specifically, I'm going to talk about the federal forms, mm-hmm. 941. Mm-hmm. Did you submit those? I want to see those in your W-2s. And then, of course, they can already see in the system that we've paid withholdings.
Right.
And I had to prove to them that I paid withholdings, and I paid mm-hmm. them electronically on the system. So they can see that. Now, I don't know in for the audit in 2015, what exactly they found out.
So one question is, the scope of the audit, does that include the reconciliation documentation?
Yep.
And if so, did they look at that during the 2015?
Oh, yeah,
so that ought to be a follow-up item.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest, if they asked for it in 17 and 18, they were asking for it. That's a big liability. I'm hoping it's just a report issue,
right?
And not that we just
and perhaps that auditor can assist with this cleaning this up as well.
Yep.
Okay, thanks.
So on the 2017-2018 audit, as you guys know, some of your we're allowed to by law pay ourselves through various funds, okay, and you guys submit proof of that each month. And then what happens in the audit is they ask for proof that you did that, right? So I'm missing 2017's proof that happened. Not that the payment was made, but that you...
The time records?
Those payroll certification sheets. Okay, so you guys weren't here.
Which shows the distribution.
I know we did.
How time was spent.
Sure, sure.
And I know we did them.
So what I have to do is just want to acknowledge to you publicly at a meeting the auditor's recommendation is to let you know that we need to address this. And then I send in these payroll certification forms. We're doing it after the fact. So I know that you two won't be in there in 17. So, Dave, I have yours to complete.
You wouldn't make up the payroll checks unless they had their sheet in. He didn't have it.
They're there
he
somewhere.
Make one for
right.
that trustee.
We did them. We filled them out.
So, but they're not in the file, and they weren't turned in. So, it's real simple. We know how much we had paid the trustees in the past, and what funds we took from to pay. So, I can fill these out on behalf of who is no longer in the position. So, Don, Ron, and Joe Kiss. So, Dave, you're the only one that you have to do your own, okay, as far as going through. So what I did...
No big deal.
That's fine. But what I did do is I included, like, obviously each month's form, because they want to see each month's form that you acknowledge.
And how am I supposed to date them?
the day you fill them out, because they already know that.
I mean, that the month that that's for, okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's okay. I mean, they already know about this problem.
So they're completely fine with you filling out these time cards?
Yeah, because they understand I don't have them for 17. Now, 18s, they're all there.
So there's no there's no repercussion. They can come back and say, well, you guys, these are not the originals. You remade these.
Correct.
They're fine with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would avoid us having to pay it all out of one fund.
Well, we'd have to pay it out of one fund.
You would have to pay it out of the general fund.
Oh, that wouldn't be good.
So, yeah, I thought that was interesting, and so I attached his email to your pile, and then what I did do is I took the total paid throughout the year, and then I determined by a percentage what was taken out of each fund in general in 17, because I don't know what was actually put down for each month. So, but I got a feeling that if that total is what it is, then that's what they put down in total for the year, right? So each trustee, you know, if you said 10% out of this fund through in total, so any questions on that?
So I guess I don't use any fire on here because I didn't then.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right. So I'm going to be completing those three for those, Ron, Don, and Joe. So.
And again, the date here, you want me to put it for the Monday? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And if you wanted to look at, and I don't mind you doing that because it's important, that's the email from the auditor. And then this is the wages paid in 17. So you can see that I didn't provide that in the initial documentation, and that I asked for some way we can try to fix this.
Now, you came in 18, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, you didn't come until April, though, right?
No, January 1st.
Oh, that's right, you did. But see, okay, that's right. I forgot. Yeah, we appointed you, didn't we? Forgot about that.
I like it. He's got it in the words right there.
Yeah.
That we can do all that. So that makes me, he's saying you can do it. Good.
I don't have anything else.
Well, you're like the bearer of bad news, Joel.
This is a detail.
Tony's report should be a little bit more spunky than mine.
Anything else for Joel?
No. Thank you.
Okay, fire department. Chief.
Well, good evening, everyone. And our safety note, obviously we're in the questionable weather right now with the threat of thunderstorms and tornadoes and that. So if you don't have a weather radio, it's always suggested that you do. It's also suggested that you have a go bag in case of an emergency, that you could have a little bit of water and maybe a little bit of food and have a plan. So just be prepared. Unfortunately, part of Ohio did get hit with some loss of life, so it's pretty devastating. If you've seen any of the footage of it, it's pretty bad in the lower part, and hopefully we'll be okay in our area. On the lighter things, I'd like to report that Jasmine Fouts passed her national registries. She is a certified State of Ohio EMT. So that helped us out. I did receive a letter from O.J. Butts, has elected to resign in good standings, and he has turned in all of his equipment and everything, so we're all fine, and it's, we're all set.
We approved him at the last one.
You guys already did, okay, thank you. I think we probably talked about this, the Otarma grant, we got that $500, and we bought the five water cans. They're on the equipment now. Wanted to report that we had a barn fire recently, all went well, we were able to keep the property loss down by a good fire attack and suppression plan. We also want to thank our mutual aid departments, Oregon Fire Department, Allen Clay Joint District, Lake Township, and Carroll Township, all aided in our, in that fire. On June 14th, we have the Red Cross Blood Drive from noon till 6 p.m. On June 9th, we have the Curtis Kids Day, which will participate in the parade aspect of it, and hopefully have some time to set up and play with the kids a little bit and have some fun with the community. On June 8th, we have the fireworks at Maumee Bay State Park, put on by Phantom Fireworks. Just a quick note about that. I believe we're the only area that ever gets a display of fireworks of this nature. I don't know that the other stores get to do this anywhere else. So it's a costly little endeavor for them to do this because they have to pay for the commercial aspect of the fireworks side of it. They'll display some of their fireworks that they sell. That's a very short show. And then the rest of it is a professional display. So it's nice that they do that for the community. We have the HFP race. This is a triathlon race that has been happening repeatedly year after year. And that's on the 14th and 15th. We'll have some EMS support for that activity. I saw that before moving. And we just recently had memorial services. Went well. And the only thing I wish is for a higher attendance from our community. I mean, if, you know, we could all just take a moment to remember that we're recognizing the veterans that, you know, served the country, and the fire department obviously tags on after that with our continuing service to the community. So, maybe we'll come up with some new little plans, and we can maybe change it up a notch and try and get a little bit more out there and encourage more attendance. You had asked about the runs. So in January, there were 10 fires, 10 NIFR reports were written. Doesn't mean that there was 10 fires. It could be a smoke alarm. It could be a test at the Jerusalem school. It could be a number of things. We've only really had one fire, and that was just the barn fire that we had. But in January, there were 29 rescues. February, there were 8 NIFR reports for fire-related type items, and there were 23 rescues. In March, there were 5 related to fire and 19 in the rescues. April, we had 3, which did include some of this did include fire response because we assisted other communities. I didn't say that, but that boat fire was big. And then there were 24 calls. We're at 158-159 runs for the year so far. So we've been pretty busy. I'm extremely happy to report that again we're doing a very good job at not having to call mutual aid to assist us, even though we have we're down to 24 firefighter personnel, fire department personnel on the department right now. So we are trying. The recruiting has provided a couple applications, but I'm not ready to present them to you. We will go through an interview, call these people in, and verify their, you know, address and where they live, and have a conversation with them before we would go to recommendation for hire. So we're not quite to that step yet. But other than that, we had great participation from our department and cleaning up everything for the memorial services. All of our equipment is looking good right now. I did purchase some more fire hose just because it's we didn't have any in stock of the 1 3/4 and had to replace some foam so that we used on that fire. But other than that.
Chief, on the runs and the rescues, do we have any injuries or any risk issues?
No. I'm happy to report that no injuries have been reported to us, or we have not filed any reports for anything lately. So,
good.
So far, everything seems to be pretty good. Chief and I are, my assistant chief and I are talking about trying to reduce some of the weight in our first response bag. I'm still fighting that innovation.
Because you guys are getting older.
It is. And so, it's going to be the part where you're going to be calling turns. That cot is a lifesaver. I mean, that not having to lift the patients up and down is huge. That's a great help.
Mark, do you know, since you deal with the website stuff, do you know if the blood drive is on the website?
I do not recall seeing it out
there.
Could
you maybe, if it's not, maybe have them add it? I know you talk to them people.
You
deal with neon goldfish quite a bit. So
I'll get that out.
Linda may have done it. I don't remember, but it's going to be at the hall back here. So.
Okay.
I can't get it.
I'm going to take those additional posters and put them out in the strategic areas of the community. So we'll see what we can. We did good last time. I was surprised.
Did you?
We had like 19, and they were happy. I mean, I was, I'm thinking you got to have like 30 or 40 or something, but no, they were extremely happy with our, and that's why they wanted to have us host another one.
Good. Yeah, I'll get that added. Thank you.
Yes, I was at the memorial service on Monday, and the fire department had a very good showing of members. It was pretty impressive, so I agree with the chief. Maybe next year we work with them a little bit and try and promote it a little bit more, because you get them old guys from the VFW and Dunberger, they're out there, they don't miss it.
Yeah.
And it just, the crowd dwindles every year, but they're there, so.
There's so much going on. We have stuff going on in family,
Yeah, a lot of people are out of town. I mean, there's been years I've been out of town, but.
And the only people that this has always been for have been passing away.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't, thank God we haven't had a war.
Right.
Increase the number of people.
So maybe next year we'll try and help get the word out and see if we can put our minds together.
And maybe a month in advance we could get out there.
Oh, absolutely.
I think so, too.
Absolutely.
Because I wouldn't even mind trying to go to our schools and talking to our schools and trying to really encourage the kids. You invite your parents.
Yep.
That you would like to see this and pay recognition to these veterans.
Absolutely.
That's a good one right there, Tony.
Well, I have a question for you, trustees. Tomorrow night I have a chief's meeting, Lucas County chief's meeting, and the last meeting that I attended, I had made a statement that I do not believe that my trustees have been officially informed or notified, other than from me, passing some information from the county commissioners on this
countywide
dispatch. So I'm asking you, have you guys received anything, any information whatsoever?
No, I will
state it again tomorrow.
No official communication.
Yeah.
I read it in the paper. That's all I read. I know about it.
And it only bothers me because I know I've shared a little bit of information, and I've not seen anything new other than what that information that I was able to share with you. But it's a considerable cost to the community. Because obviously, the township is not currently paying for 911 calls, and we are not paying for police calls and of that nature. But that's what they want. They want the township to pick up the cost of any 911 call comes in our community, and then any of the responses that the law enforcement responds to, as well as fire and EMS. Now, the fire and EMS levy alone would only, in my view, I'm not saying anything officially, I think will only cover the fire and EMS portion of any calls. Any other, or maybe a combination of, But I don't know how it would cover the police calls, because that's not what the levy was for. It was only for fire protection or EMS.
What do we currently pay now? It's really reasonable, like...
No, we're less than $12,000.
That's what I thought. And they want to go to what, $120,000?
Ours, well, the projected form that I saw was like $140,000.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's, the biggest heartache that I have is, one, you guys aren't, as officials, you are the ones they really have to talk to. I'm just the representative of the fire chief. I work for you. So there's just still no real good information out there, as far as I'm concerned. But I just want to go to this meeting and state it in this meeting that I'm telling you officially that my trustees have not been contacted officially from any county commissioner or in any format from the county commissioner, that and you're going to expect the township to, you know, just totally buy into this. What I understand is the major players, Toledo, Sylvania, Oregon, Springfield, will all have a considered vote. The smaller townships, us, Providence, Berkey, you know, maybe White House, Waterville, we all collect into one pool as only one vote. So they collect all the townships, the smaller communities, into one vote, and the other players all have the big vote. So when I looked at the numbers, it was quite skewed of what we were going to pay opposed to what the cities were going to pay. So, but again, I'm not trying to say the sky is falling. I just wanted to officially said that I asked you, and I will report back the next meeting of what I find out, you know, after this chief's meeting.
Okay. Excuse me. Tony, is Oregon going to go into it?
They are, yes. So what consequently happens is there's only going to be one PSAP location, and so that will be at the 911 building downtown. So Oregon will lose theirs, Maumee will lose theirs, Sylvania will lose theirs. Springfield already is with the county right now. So, there's where we're at.
But they want to try and go live with us by January, don't they? I mean, wasn't that their projected date?
It was, don't quote me, but I thought they were trying to push for July, is what I thought.
I think you're right, August or something.
But I think there may be a lot of other things they're just tripping over right now. But they're saying that, for instance, Paul Jones, one of our firefighters, is an Oregon dispatcher. Well, he's going to lose his job. He will have to lose his job at Oregon and then get hired in downtown at the county and, you know, basically start all over again. So, you know, there's a lot of people affected by this thing, you know, we can always criticize our dispatching, but you know what? What I like is our dispatchers know our community, they know our backups, they know who our, you know, whether or not they're sent in Oregon or the park rangers or whatever for the law enforcement side of it. You know, they know all of our mutual aid partners, so I'm just a little nervous, I'll say, is because it's going to be new. And if anything new is what if Toledo and Sylvania and elsewhere have major fires going on? Are they going to have enough support to support, you know, our calls? You know, I don't know how it'll work. I would love to see it played out first, you know, prove to me that it can work, but, you know, I don't know.
In other words, we don't even have a choice, do we, Tony?
That's the real problem. Is we it doesn't sound like the township will have much of a choice.
You're hoping to build a jail.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's just a money grab. Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
And this is going to be just like what they did with the rooms. Commissioners are going to do a resolution.
Yep.
Everybody's going to be one, and you ain't going to say nothing about it.
And we were at that meeting. Remember, you couldn't even say anything.
Right.
Unless you can get all your communities to vote together with the new commissioners and vote them out and get somebody that's willing to work, you're going to sit like this.
And don't say it. I know you live in Ottawa County. Okay, thank you very much. So you guys, I received back from you that you have not. That's what I wanted to be sure of.
Anything else for the chief?
I do. Was the fiscal officer able to get any numbers for the fire levy. I know that Chief Shea, in my absence, had asked to see if we could see some numbers. Is that something we want to?
No, I think you were all included on that, and so was you, Tony. There was a worksheet.
Did you see it?
I didn't see it.
No, it didn't go to Mike. It went to you. And it was a worksheet that you plugged in the numbers to.
The Excel spreadsheet?
Yep, that the county provided.
Fillable?
Yeah, so you put in and it just gives you different scenarios for how much money.
That's how much, yeah, but see, that's not a question that I asked. I asked for a comparison of what we are getting now and what would be the renewal.
I would look at that email that I sent to you because it includes that information.
It does include that? Okay.
Okay, yeah. What I've got here is, if I'm reading this correctly, you had replacement, additional 5 mil levy was going to generate $340,863. A renewal with an increase of 5 mil levy was going to generate $380,377. And then if we just renewed the current 5 mil, was $312,204. Is that the right sheet, Joel?
Well, that email, which has the sheet, also lists the valuation of how much we have to get from, like, what's the property valuation at the rate that this would be figured off of.
Would that be on the Class 1 real estate tax value?
Again, it has me worried where this consolidated dispatching goes and where this much greater cost for dispatching is going to go. That has a huge game changer to us. So, and I'm just talking off my head here.
Yeah, so
it could incorporate there may have to be a safety levy that would be able to pick up.
So, Joel, are you forwarding that to the chief and the assistant chief?
As a fire department with the police calls, the 911 calls, because that would drain our budget. I mean, I don't know how we would be able to handle it because there's a heck of a lot more 911 calls to the sheriff than there are to us.
Legally, you couldn't pay for it out of that budget. Out of the
well, if you guys can do that, then you got paid out of your general fund, and right. You surely can't afford it. Mm. You know, so
almost gonna have a levy.
We're going to have to do something. That's why we're looking at making sure we know these numbers, because we are going to be a township that's in one heck of a deficit if we have this big fund. You know, you take $140,000 out of general and the fire, we're in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, not with, you know, so if we don't have a plan, and they're planning on doing this the first of the year, we got to think of this for November, or we've got to put another levy on that's just going to take care of this dispatching. And then that will always go to that. I mean, it's kind of sitting with an emergency. I don't know how you sell your voters to do that, but my goodness. Mm. And so, this is just generated by Lucas County. You have to get them all out to vote them out to plan a little better. That'd be the only thing you could do. That's not going to happen.
No.
So I think the other part to that we learned is, and that we're in the new business, roll business, I guess, but since we're on the topic about rollbacks, and we talked about the different scenarios that play out with new money, renewal with new money, and how what the cost is to us or to the taxpayers, right? So to summarize that publicly, it's real simple. If you renew your money at your current millage, you keep those subsidized rollbacks in place. The taxpayer doesn't have to bear the burden of replacing that. So if you renew, the taxpayer will pay less. If you have new money, the taxpayer will have to cover the difference in the subsidized rollbacks that the state was giving us to make up for that. But if you renew a levy and ask for an increase, you are renewing the rollbacks at the state subsidy and not asking the taxpayers to cover that, but the new money is not getting that subsidized rollback from the state, and the taxpayer would have to bear the burden to make up the difference. But if you ask for an increase at a lower rate, it's less money that the taxpayer has to make up for the that subsidized rollback, which is 12.5%, but it's going down. So that's a big thing to think about beside what you want to spend in the future is what the taxpayer is going to see, no matter what. It's the same situation we're talking about with we have a potential concern over the county dispatching. So there's different scenarios, I guess.
And this all started, I actually started it in the chief's absence. The difference was we were not going to ask for any additional millage. It was the difference of old money and new money, which it sounds like if you renewed at the present tax evaluation, you're going to gain about $37,000. How much now do we get kickback and rollback? Is the difference the same? Yeah. But if we're going to ask for additional money, this ain't the year you want to do it. You moved your fire levy to separate from the other ones. If you're going to ask for extra money, you want to do that the following November or whatever, not to affect your present levy, because now you ask for additional, they may vote everything down, and that's what everybody was worried about. I don't see it happening. But we just talked about these taxes and the license plate and everything else, not adding additional tax. And somehow now we got on, we're going to add more millage to the fire department.
So the only reason I bring that up is because the only way you can make more money is to renew with an increase versus asking for new money or renewing. Because if you're renewing, you're not necessarily gaining.
You're staying at the same level.
Or you lose.
If they reevaluated, we theoretically lose money.
But
and they did a lot of reductions.
And that's, so then the other thought is, the only way to get more money is to ask for to renew with an increase, because it protects those state subsidized rollbacks. If you ask for new money, you lose those state subsidized rollbacks, because the taxpayer has to pay the difference. So new would be bad, would be very bad, because they would definitely see the hit.
They would see some of the increase, which you're going to with the new tax evaluation.
Right.
But from the numbers you just read, from new to present is about $37,000. Just trying to figure it out in my head on what you said. The figures were going to
work. Yeah. Well, that was the rollbacks that they have to be made up by the taxpayers. So that worksheet is based on current valuation, and you plug that in so you guys can decide what you want to do. So. But I know you guys have to make a plan for what you want to spend in the future, right? So, don't know.
And that's kind of hard for that when they don't know if they're going to be spending $140,000 in dispatch. I mean, that kind of ties your hands right now.
And if I didn't mention this, I mean, this could be phase one is the consolidated dispatching. Phase two may be a new revised EMS, which will not only take care of the life squads, but it could include basic life support, so it could include BLS squads. And then phase three could be a countywide metro fire department. So the whole county would be one fire department now and would no longer be each community.
However, they would take the tax dollars from all the communities and put them together to run it.
Yep.
The one way we have to protect a levy with us and not have to go to the 911 calling would be equipment bond levies. Then we can't spend a bond levy if it's designed for equipment like trucks or rescue squad or something like that. And then the township knows it's going to bricks and mortar, and that it can't be taken out of that to pay for that fund if the county switches something over. So that might be something we look at if we know we're looking to buy equipment, you know, 3 years down the line, 4 years down the line, then we can do that with a bond levy. Those are other options that are out there.
Yeah, like
and that's how you kind of cover your butt a little bit to make sure it's not in our general fund for fire. It's stated for what it has to be spent for.
There's two levies in the fire department, right? Or one?
What's that?
There's just one.
There's like one.
There's one. And you need that one to operate.
Right.
Correct. And that's what I'm worried about is with a huge hit, you know, where we should be able to operate, but we're not going to be able to Not so sure we'll be able to hold our own with everything else. You know, with catastrophic problems and trucks and stuff like that, you know, that's, I don't know how you handle that.
You think that's what they want to do? Just make it one fire department?
That is in the conversation, yes, it is. And part of what's driving it is the low, everyone's having trouble finding people to be firefighters. Even the cities are struggling. They're jockeying people around. I mean, they're not jockeying around. They are, you know, people are moving to better paying jobs, so they leave one department to go to another department. You know,
damn retirees. Getting all that pension. All right, so we probably next meeting come back with exactly what we want to do on that, Joel. That
it's gonna be your decision what you want to do.
Okay, that works for you, Chief.
Well, yeah, and I'll definitely pressure the commissioners and or anyone that I can on getting the latest information that they have on this whole community dispatch.
Why don't you guys come back to us with what you? We can get you that email on that, and you guys tell us what you think you want to do, what you think's the best.
Yeah,
for you guys, okay. and we can all kind of,
and we'll put a logic together.
Yeah, I mean, we can all hash it out and see what what's going to work best. I mean, we want it to work for you guys. So,
Tony, does the commissioners come to the meeting at all?
Yes, they do occasionally. Good. Yes, when they want something, then they show up.
Oh, but they show yeah, they want yep. something. Okay. And they won't show up for this,
unless it's. Something is getting close, they're ready to do something. I expect them to be there tomorrow night.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. You can tag along if you want to. I mean, they allow visitors, you know, we just have to announce you. And
Mark can let you use the siren on the utility if you want.
When you leave?
We'll probably, it's at the Red Cross, different departments host it, so Red Cross is hosting it tomorrow, so we're just over off Glendale, Arlington.
Well,
is where it's at, so we probably won't leave till 6:30.
Anything else for the chief? All right, thank you, Chief. Mike, rec department.
I typically don't come to this meeting.
I know. Yeah. I'm shocked to see you.
It's unusual.
Since I'm here, I'll share a couple things with you. The main reason I come is I have some numbers for the Walkman. But since I'm here, I'll tell you that over the last few days, we lost a tree at the wreck. Not one of the new ones, one of the old ones. It split right in half. So wind must have just hit it just right, and it is out.
Sound like lightning more than anything.
It snapped. It was kind of crooked. I laid it all the way down. I talked to Kevin today. I'll dispose of it. The next few days. I did talk to North Branch about the bags, and it seems that we paid for the bags in the putting them in.
Because
I called there and I talked to some lady and she asked who I was and I told her. She's like, you might want to talk to the guy you dealt with. So he called me back and he's like, they bill them three different ways. And ours was just with the bags, and it was never mentioned to me, it was never brought to my attention. He said they will put the bags up, sometimes we're out this way, and then there are bags, so we have those. So that saves us like $300. Well, not save us, we paid for them already.
Yeah.
We have. So I sent the walkway, I redid the whole thing, I sent it out to Blousy, to the Jensen brothers, and then I gave one to Kevin, and he gave it to the Belcoffer. Blousy's came back the next morning. The first part, I had it broken down to two different parts. Part number one is our part, and part number two would be the school part. So it's exactly what I asked for in the scope of work, and that's the bottom line. You see the two parts split up, and that's the total. The Jensen, I talked to him. I told him what I wanted it. I emailed it to him, and I put it in an email what I wanted it, and he has not got back. And then the third one would be Belkoffer, and Kevin says that his, I think Kevin talked to him, and I won't put words in his mouth, but I think he says going to be around the $4,000 range. So these guys were the lowest last time when we got three, and it seems like they will be the lowest this time. The only reason why I bring this to you tonight is because I would like to get this awarded and get it started. But that's up to you guys.
The school can't go wrong.
That's cheap. I thought that was pretty low. $700?
They said they'd pay for it and do it, right?
He said he wanted to see the number.
Oh, okay.
So he didn't commit to anything, but he, and I will take this to him tomorrow if everything goes okay tonight. So.
So our cost is $25,260 of this quote?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Of the three. $778 would be for the schools.
Now, if the school backed out, he'd still do our section, right?
I'd still do our section.
For that price?
Yes.
Okay. I mean,
the only question I have is, when I talk to Dean tomorrow, I'm gonna ask if the Blasey people can just bill us our part and bill them their part.
Yeah.
Which I would think that would be the easiest.
Makes sense.
Okay, so I'll talk to Dean tomorrow, and if he gives me the green light, should I pursue it then, or?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. That kind of, if he's been the cheapest.
You only have two. You only have one.
Yeah. And that'll get you what about?
You only have
it
half.
Takes me from the.
We got two.
We get out of the parking lot.
But they didn't send it in. $4,000. For $4,000.
You know what I mean?
He said it'll be close. He's supposed to have it in supposedly tomorrow. That's what he told me
this
morning or yesterday.
So this is the contact.
Also, it's going to get us about halfway.
It's going to get us all the way to the end of that plan.
Now, are you eventually going this way with it?
That would be the yes.
The last half.
Yes.
So you're about half.
Yeah. Well, if I had this, it would be half. But yeah, pretty close. Pretty close. So you figure if you double that, it'd probably be, you know, $3,500, I don't know, to finish the whole thing. But this would need to be developed before that would happen.
Yeah, it's like Joel said, we should have one more paper bid at least. We should have two at least.
Okay. I can.
Just to make, you know, an auditor looks at this, and it's only right.
Okay, is it something that we have to bid out?
If you don't turn it in. And did you have a timeline to turn it in?
Kevin.
Another way you could go about it is you've seen that one, and if you're willing to go with that one, leave it up to the rec director to make a decision upon the receipt of the other one. Mm-hmm. If it comes in tomorrow like they said it would, mm-hmm. then it's already approved. And
yes, do that.
Maybe a few days then? Or because it's below my money I'm allowed to spend.
Yeah, quick question. Does this fit within your current 2019 appropriations?
It would have to come out of our...
It's got to be. Got to do it again.
So we'll need an additional appropriation to cover this. Okay.
Which will be
between
okay
now and the end of the year. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's not that much, which is great. You know.
Okay.
That's right. It is under your budget. So why don't it's your decision, I guess.
Okay. Well, what I'll do is, I'll give him a day or so. I might even call the guy again to see if he's. I mean, I don't want to hound him, but you know, I'll give a couple days, see what happens, and I'll present it to Dean, and then I'll let one of you guys know when. To go.
Sounds good.
And then the last thing I have, as I did email that to Neon Goldfish.
Right, very good.
As I got heard back.
Excellent, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
That's it.
Yeah, because July's coming up pretty quick. Huh?
Yeah, and I wanted.
Yeah.
I told him July 15th. I know that thing is on the 20th. And that porta potty would be $75 for a weekend. Okay.
Thank you.
Yep.
That's it. Appreciate that.
Yep.
I got sweet corn up, Tony, but I don't think I'll have it for.
Yeah.
It's going to have to get a lot warmer.
Is that even going to happen?
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Yep.
All right. Zoning report. Linda wasn't going to be able to make it tonight. Do you want to skip Kevin? Or?
I don't Yeah, this
you want to hear them? All right. I think Dave's going to bring that up in new business, probably. Okay,
yeah, so. I got it here.
Well, I'll tell you what, real quick. I'll just make mention of it since she's not here. But we did get we got a complaint there from Gary and Vicky Schnapp, 8750 Cedar Point Road, about a property next to him. It's got standing water. Nobody's living there. I think the house is vacant, he said.
Yeah, they can't sell it. They got sewage in the back. Yeah.
And grass. And he just emailed new pictures to Linda. I gave her email address. So I'm going to put this on her desk, and everything will be there for her. So just we'll cover that in zoning now. So, but all right, Kevin. Yep, 3 minutes.
Well, the culvert project that we discussed the last meeting has been completed. Beachview, and Henry, Temple, and Lakeway, and the extension at the park. By next meeting, I should have the bills on that, and we'll break up what the extension was at the park. But Beachview, we put in 38 feet of pipe. Temple and Lakeway, we used 50 feet of pipe. And at the park, we used 48 feet of pipe. Sent the F-250 out early last week, had the air conditioning fixed. They were unable to find a leak, but it's got a small leak someplace, so it's covered if it's got to go back, not for parts, but if it would leak down again. Started road mowing today. We had to have one tire fixed. It picked up a big, like 3/8 bolt right in the tire, but they were able to fix the tire. And Joel, you'll be receiving that check from the county for the Van Dyke project, the catch basin, and the pumping. And you let me know when them come in so we can make sure they go back where they need to be. Still pumping on Cedar Point Road. It does appear that they have slowed down the water coming from the other marsh. Didn't look like it was open there as much. They've had a big tractor pump back in there, pumping the other two marshes towards Kuzno Road. So hopefully we can get away with pumping any more of their water and get that stuff from Sheehan.
Well, I'll mention that while you're talking about it. I tried to call them today, but they didn't answer. But he has the pictures now, so we'll see what happens.
Cemetery. We had the 16-year-old girl last week. We buried on Wednesday. We ended up having a pretty decent-sized funeral. We ended up shutting down Brown Road. I would like to see a thank you letter sent to the Allen Township trustees for their personnel, which they paid overtime for that individual to shut down the road for us on one end. And we had the deputy shut down the other end. But we had over 100 cars, so it was quite a big deal.
Kevin, with that letter, should we give them, you know, how much that would be?
No.
They don't
trade back and forth with them. And
you're going to trade? Okay.
The way it's been working, you know, we've loaned them stuff and we've borrowed. So it's been pretty good so far. Nobody's changing any money, so I would keep it at that for now. Okay. Sold 10 graves last week. That takes us down to approximately 64 graves. I didn't look at my sheet before I come in.
Wow.
At the rate we're selling graves, by mid-next year, we'll be out of graves. So that's where we're at for the cemetery. To this date, we still have not installed any footers. When I did dig that grave last Wednesday, when I got down 4 or 5 inches, the ground did dry up some. But that top 4 or 5 inches is wet enough now. When you go to take it out, it's really sticky. And there's no foundation that's going to look nice that we have to mud in right now. So I got approximately 14 of them to do. I've talked to multiple monument companies that have called and asked for the status of them. And they understand where we're at. As soon as we start getting them in, I'll start calling everybody and letting them know they're in. But right now we do have, I believe it's 14 or more that we have to put in. And this winter was pretty rough in the cemetery. There's at least somewhere between 30 to 40 headstones we're going to have to level. The flatter ones, I'm not real crazy about leveling them right away. but I have a bunch of large tablets that are leaning, and before it starts getting really hot, we got to get those or the tablet will slide off the ground. So we have, if it dries up, we most probably got 2 weeks worth of work in the cemetery just trying to get it back to where it needs to be and all the new additions added into it. And with those culvert projects, talking to Burkhart today, he's going to dig like a, well, probably about 100 foot of ditch on Temple for us, because the ditch narrows down to about 6 inches wide in the bottom, and it's got sort of steep sides. He did offer to do that today for a very minimal cost, so he will be doing that tomorrow. And that will complete all of his work except on Turnell and Brown, digging that ditch going back across Steve Turnell's property, which drains all the water from, well, not all the water, half the water from Turnell Road, and it drains like 3 houses on Brown Road, which go to the east. So, and right now his estimate was about $4,000 to do everything except the Turnell Road project. So I told him when he told me that to just go ahead and do the project, and I should be getting a bill most probably either this week or first next week on, which will be broke up. And that money, or all of that except most probably the park, unless I can manage to work it in on them, will be paid out of stormwater money. So we'll get that money back again.
Kevin, you're talking about Temple. How was that crossover? Did you, there at St. John's?
Oh, it's actually the crossover beyond him, which is McAtee.
Yeah.
They slid a pipe inside of a pipe. Oh. It's still open, but with the stuff that was in the pipe, and they slid the other pipe, and it's been there for years. It actually raised the
sure.
flow line in it. Eventually, it does need replaced. Right now, it's holding water just because we've had so much rain. But, yeah, that's probably about 36 feet of pipe in there to change that also. That's a pretty wide driveway. But, yeah, that one will need replaced eventually. If there's high water, it will get rid of it. But you're always going to have a couple inches in the bottom until it dries up.
It's curious.
Did the one on Henry there, did that make that water go when they replaced that? Still hasn't?
It did to an extent, but it didn't flow away by any means. No.
Did Brian get you all the, he never got them for you?
They still have not been back out. They went out, they took waypoints, and they haven't been out to survey since. They got reference areas, but they haven't actually surveyed the ditch yet.
Okay.
So if he gets back with that, and then we find a bunch of high areas, they'd have him go back in, or are we paying to start at that one and go all the way to Lakeway again? That would be the only other option.
It'd be nice if we had them. I was hoping he'd have all them.
No, because I asked him when me and Mark was out there on Monday. Oh, and he did give me a print of the catch basin and pipe at Elliston. But I'm going to have to call him on it because part of it shows 12-inch, then it goes to 24 or 30 coming out to the south. So I'm not sure how they did that yet, the way his plan shows. There's something not right with it, because I've never seen him be able to hook the 24 up to a 12, so. And that's all I got, unless you guys have something for me.
I got one thing quick. How do you guys, when you guys level them headstones over there, how do you guys do that?
We actually roll the headstone off the foundation, and we used to always take and pull the whole foundation out, re-level everything in the bottom, recompact it, and put the foundation back in on top. If they're not too big, I've been able to either use the forks on the backhoe and pry it up so we could fill underneath it and set it back in, or with a bar, get it up high enough that we could repack, because it always, 90% of the time, it'll lean towards the new grave site or the burial site of the headstone. And they just settle over time, especially if you put them in too early. You'll level them 2 to 3 times before it finally settles out. That's why anymore I try to wait a year to put one in, unless you get something that was buried like real early in the fall. And you get a lot of rain and stuff to settle them through the winter. I'll put those in the spring knowing that I may have to level them a little bit. But if they don't settle out,
I saw this thing the other day. I don't even know where I saw it, but it was exactly for that, for leveling headstones. And what all it was a frame that went around them. It just pinned together, and it had four, like, trailer jacks. And they were literally picking these headstones up, jacking them right up. They could do everything they needed to and jack them down. Or if they just needed to jack one corner, they could jack up that corner. One guy could do it. No equipment whatsoever. I'll see if I can find the...
Does that just pick up the headstone, though? That doesn't.
No, they were picking up monuments with them, like the big, tall...
Well, I mean, that doesn't pick up the concrete slab on ground.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll do that or not, but I'll look for it and see. But it, I thought for one guy, and it was, you know, no equipment, so you could work on it, it was wet. It was pretty neat. I'll have to... And it didn't look like it could be that expensive because it was pretty simple. You know, yeah. I mean, it just was a little metal frame that went around them.
Because the headstones aren't too bad to move, but it's getting the footer up out of the ground.
Yeah, okay.
Because they form a nice vacuum in there. You can get that to bust to get them up. But yeah, because there's a big one over there. Well, it's actually for three people, the right stone. And I've been looking, and I've talked to the family. They're okay. If I could grout or something under the monument between it and the foundation to level it. And I haven't got to talk to the right people yet to find out what I'm going to need for grout to put under and what's the expense. If it's too expensive, we'll have to redo the foundation. But that stone in itself, the bottom granite slab, is going to be 10 foot long. So it's pretty large, and we may have to pay a monument company to come move it. Because I tell you what, to move a piece of granite that long and not crack it or break it, I'm kind of leery on that. Because we actually raise them up and we put rollers underneath them. Then we roll it off on the plywood. Then we fix it. Then we roll it back on. And it's black and it's very expensive to fix. So,
hey, Kevin, why don't we call up that concrete leveling? The guy in Oregon, he's did my concrete in front of my garage, and you know, he pumps that underneath there and pumps them up too, you know, something big like that. Or
something big like that, I can see doing it. Any of our newer ones that are 4 foot or smaller,
yeah,
they're just pre-poured slabs. They're only, yeah, 3.5-4 inches thick.
But something big one, I meant.
Beam wide, yeah, by whatever the length is.
That's where they pump that foam in there, isn't it? And they,
but it's actually cement-like. It's amazing what they do. They drill some holes in them in the concrete slab and brings it right up there. Okay. Long as we're mentioned, I do have it down here. I had our ladies' night out. Pat Rosenkrant cornered me about cemetery, you know. So I just, you heard me mention that.
And, you know, I had Steve Connors call me today about putting in his mask. He understands, but he calls me about every 2 weeks just to see where we're at.
And it's wet over there.
It is. And there are some areas that's high enough that I might be able to get into, but I don't have headstones or monuments to put in those areas. So it's just a waiting game. It's going to go from this to rock hard. And it's just, they got to wait longer. I always try to have them in by the holiday. And this year, there's just no way we could get them in and make them look decent.
We actually tiled it about 5 years ago or 4 years ago. We ran a little ditcher in there. Because it was really wet in some of the old part.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Trustees reports. Getting a lot of calls on the halls, but nothing quite happening yet on that. Cemetery?
Yes. Kevin and I met with Sarah Rowland and a couple of other engineers last week at Lucas County to discuss some county assistance with the cemetery, and we do expect to hear back probably about mid-June or thereabouts. A friend of mine is a geologist with ODNR. He's also a local property owner here in the township. He supplied me with two cases of their new publication, Ohio Coastal Atlas.
Wow.
And so there's a box over there. If anybody would like one, you are welcome. And not just the trustees, but anybody in the audience. There's probably 12 of them there, and I've got another 15. So you're welcome to take one of these. It's got some good information in it. By the way, he did tell me that We are on track for water to hit record highs, and they have 100 years of records. So this month, if everything keeps up, we'll set a new 100-year record.
Supposed to have 10 more inches coming at us, they said, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, by
right.
July, it's supposed to.
Yeah. I have a question. The EMA has asked in an official letter any information that we have on our flooding conditions or threat of flooding. Mr. Bench, I remember you talking about it. There were three locations that we have potential dike areas. Can you share that with me so I may be able to share that back to the EMA?
Yes. Ward's Canal, going back to the old pump.
Yeah, but do you have any photos or anything that's more definitive that I can share with EMA?
The county, the county took a drone out. And they droned it, and then I was just going to call the Army Corps of Engineers because they're coming out in June, and I was going to try and get a meeting set up. Maybe we could have the EMA too, try and get the Metro Parks too to understand that they got to fix these dikes. No, they kind of patched one the other a couple weeks ago, and that wasn't probably the worst spot, but by the house you guys burnt there, they kind of Grotto had to come and patch one.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Okay.
But,
so an effort was made on
their part.
One potential area.
We thought that was kind of cool. But it's kind of bad right in there by that sign. It used to go out to Anchor Point sign. And then there's an S back there, back on the part that they haven't made a park yet. When we walked at that, that's getting bad back there too.
Okay.
But yeah, they do have drone pictures. And I was just going to call the Army Corps probably tomorrow. I didn't get them today, but... So when they're here, we're going to try and have a meeting.
Well, if I'm allowed to attend, I would like to attend.
Yeah, oh, no problem.
And Mr. Hozak has asked for a copy of our plans for evacuation and notification, which, you know, we'll basically use the Davis-Bessey plans because they're already written and they already facilitate what we would need to do anyways. So the only thing we would incorporate is our watercraft and other resources that we have.
So maybe we could have the EMA come too and have a big party.
And that might just, all of this might help move things forward.
Yeah, amen, yeah.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Dave, anything on the roads?
Oh, probably in this little thing I got too. And I'll just do them as we go through the new business and old business.
Not a problem. All right, we'll move on to old business. Repairs to the hall, Kevin, you sent me that text today I was just looking at. Is that in July or June or May? You said the 27th, you texted me. Just said so you know the bricklayer will be here the 27th.
I talked to her today, just this afternoon, and she might be here this week. It's raining. It's just like everything else. Yeah. You know, she said I could have tore it off one Saturday, she said, and well, it was going to rain Sunday, and she didn't want to have it open and the water all go in there.
Okay.
So it's still on her list. So
just when the weather breaks.
Just
huh?
When the weather breaks, because I told her to call me because I was going to keep them bricks. So I said, let me know so I get the pallets and a trailer there, you know, so
right. They
can throw them on. So it could be this Saturday. Who knows?
Okay. Number two is the fire department rental. The chief got that for us. I had on there the road transfers from the county. Still at a standstill
Still at a standstill.
Okay. Number four was the Jerusalem Elementary path that Mike is going to take care of for us. We'll get that one off, hopefully. Unlimited garbage pickup is still June 13th and 14th.
Right, and that information, I believe, is out on the website.
Yep,
now.
And I think Terry posted that on Facebook also.
Yeah.
Terry Stevens did. Number six was the status of the extra crank for the Cusino and Cedar Point Road.
Got it?
You got it?
I did not bring that up. The county, at this point, got a big battery-operated drill motor, and they have given it to us for running the gate up and down from completely up to all the way down or vice versa. In less than 10 minutes, I can run it all the way up and down. And
I never did it. It's really slow.
Whatever your date is.
It's really quick. You're
what they're going to do
it. Down pretty good.
You said they do have the crank, though, the other one?
They did make another crank. It's out on my desk. They dropped that off Friday.
Wow.
So
that was quick.
So you're going to hold on to the battery operated one, I take it?
It's 60 volt, and it was a $500 drill I got.
Wow.
Two batteries, the whole nine yards.
We're thinking other ways to use it.
I'm going to modify all the gates with that thing.
It's a nice big battery operated drill, and it took a little discussion on, they sort of wanted to take it back. Well, it does no good because it's still going to take them 2 hours to get here.
So, right. But,
so we got it for now.
Good.
And if they ask for it back, I've lost it. So.
Okay. All right. Will you be delivering the crank to the resident, or?
It makes no difference. I got it there. Really, at this point, I don't even see the benefit of giving them the handle, but we can if it makes them happy.
Okay.
It don't take long to run it up and down now.
Well, that also means that every time something changes, somebody will have to respond with that. But I'll follow up with you.
Once they crank it a couple times, they don't want to get the handle.
They'll be calling us. Bring that drill.
Okay.
All right. Number seven was the a title list of all the vehicles. So the last meeting, Chief, you weren't here. I was kind of shocked that we didn't have an actual title for that squad. We had to go get it. And I think we had talked just briefly about getting a list together of all titles that we have.
All the vehicles and whether we have possession of the title or not.
Because if we don't, we could go get them, do the same thing, and
right.
You know, go do that. So if you guys could, we don't know if you have the records for them or if they're in the safe back here, because I know that stuff had been moved.
Yeah, we'll just have to work together.
But, yeah.
I can tell you, like, for instance, when we get the last boat that we got, the 15-foot, so I had given that to Don Murray at the time, and I kept a copy of it just so I had a copy in the station.
Okay.
So that's what I did. Now, I can't tell you that I've never seen one for our new squad, but I could certainly reach out to Burgess Ambulance and get one. So we'll see how that works.
So as a follow-up to that comment, let me ask Joel, do you have any titles in your possession?
Yeah, there's the Burgess Ambulance and the model.
Okay, so you have some.
Car.
Okay.
Yeah. We found an envelope with a minute.
Okay.
But what was described to Kevin and myself, it's not in there.
Okay.
Like
all right.
A title box, like a.
Okay. So
like something that was to be out.
All right. So we just need to go through, complete an inventory, and figure out what is it that we're missing. Okay.
I think the first thing we can do is just list all the vehicles we have.
Right.
And then put that checklist with the titles and start working at it. Like
right.
Some of
exactly.
them are easy, low hanging ones. Other ones might have to require more work. But it doesn't surprise me that we didn't have the title from Medic 32 years ago. We never actually got it from the manufacturer.
Yeah, I mean, a couple that I'll struggle with, just thinking off the top of my head, is the brush unit that we have.
That
was given to us by City of Toledo. Now, whether or not a title came with it, I don't know.
The other one
was the dive truck.
But I think, because I was involved in that, and I think there was a title. I think we did have the title for it. Where it went, I don't know, but
I don't know.
Because I was involved with getting that, and I remember there being a title. Yeah. That's all.
Well, can you work on getting us a new one?
Anything that ever had a registration with it, if you take the VINs up there, they'll run them and let you know if there's titles, and if they are, they'll give you duplicates. The only problem maybe is on that brush unit. Was the title ever officially transferred to us, or is it still with the legal?
Right. Yeah.
But anything, that's what you Thank told me, you. Anything that had a registration, they could look up.
Okay. All right. Number eight was the fire levy resolution, which we've talked about that a little bit on what we're going to do. We're going to get together at the next meeting on that. Number nine was the Henry crossover, which Kevin covered on that one. At the last meeting, we went ahead, we decided we'd do that speed study, and I gotta get a letter typed up to give to Ron and that we did it. We'll just put it on the letterhead. I forgot to do it this last week, so I gotta make sure I get that done. Of course, the water issues at the LaCourse House, Brown Road, Alliston Route 2, you know, that's gonna be on there for a while, I feel, with the high water, so
right.
That'll be on there. Sounds like we might get a little something done with Brown Road over there. But they also got to get that check valve in there for us.
Yeah.
That's the other thing they got to get in there. Number 12, the Temple stop sign. Kevin, is there one missing or no?
It's hanging by one ribbon. I seen it today when we were down.
Okay.
Yeah, I take your grinder down, cut the rivet off, put it back in.
Okay. All right, so I'll remove that one off the list also. So new business, and this is kind of piggybacking off of Dave a little bit, was the Mike Sheehy. I know you had contacted him at the last meeting, and I think we just stay driving on that and see if we can get him out here, you know.
I don't know what it is. He lives up here, and I usually talk to Sam. You know, they got these people that take their calls and that. And I said, Sam, why don't you have him call us up, and we'll take you out and show you our problem. Right. And he's never.
Well, maybe I'll call him, and if we don't get a response, then we'll have Mark call him, and. If he don't get a response, then we'll just keep hounding him a little bit.
I put a call in today to Sam.
Okay.
And so he'll probably call me tomorrow, but.
Okay. Mark, this is your next one, the right. Constituent issue.
I had a number of issues that some of our constituents have brought forward. Just kind of run through them to make sure that all of our trustees are aware. One of our constituents was talking about La Course Drive and Toulon and the potholes back there. I spoke a little bit with Kevin about it. Kevin indicated that back about 10 years ago there was complaints about parking and racing, and the road hasn't been resurfaced, and as a result, there's some ruts and some potholes. It's really deterred that activity. There's been no more complaints about those kinds of activities, but I did get a complaint from a nearby resident about the condition of the road. So that's one of those I think we need to discuss as trustees about addressing that, and whether we put that on a list for repair and resurfacing.
I would not do that to that road. Most I would do is fill some potholes. That road, until they did the sewer project, did not even exist.
Is that the one that runs right
along the park?
Right behind the old Moore House.
Yeah.
Or we just put in the culvert when you come to the top of the hill, you go to the south and it loops back. There's no houses back there. You got a perfect road up in front to drive on. The only thing that's going to take place back on that dark road is if you make it nice, going to be dumping garbage, there's going to be people parking in there, and then we're going to have complaints again. It wouldn't make it beautiful, but we could fill some potholes. To me, as a road superintendent, it isn't worth putting a lot of money.
So you're recommending just fill the potholes?
If that's what you guys want to do, we can fill some potholes and try to grade it down. I would not do any kind of resurfacing. I would not put any money towards that. Where that money would be better spent on roads that get bunches of traffic instead of 3-4 golf carts a day. And that's up to you guys, but.
Can you close that road off and make it not?
Well, the whole reason of opening it is when they did the sewer project, they went right down the middle of the road. Huh? So they had the road surface dug up. You needed another way for emergency apparatus to get in and people to get out when they had sections closed. Mm-hmm. So they went in there, and the company that did it actually put stone all the way down there, because a lot of it was mud, and underneath it is actually broke up asphalt and concrete way back when they used to have the cottages in there in the 70s. That's when that road was actually put in, which was part of a private road. And I'm not even sure if our map show it as an actual road. I know the course up front, they added in after the sewer project because they had to put a name on it. But I'm not sure on that back part. It gives you a second way to get out of there if a big tree would come down across the fountain for you to get out the backside. But we don't need asphalt. Matter of fact, in wintertime, we don't even plow it. We go right there to the corner, turn the corner. We don't do anything with it. It's unmaintained. So, and the cheapest alternative would be to just put some stuff in the potholes and let it go with that. Because I'll bet you if we did a traffic count down there, I don't think golf carts had enough to set it off. So you might have 5 cars a month. And if you did it during non-birding season, it might be less than that. Because there's just, I mean, you never see anybody down there anymore. But.
So what's your inclination? Do you agree that we should fill the potholes, or do you agree that we should leave it?
Just take some grindings and fill the potholes a little bit.
Okay. Okay, so Kevin, that'll get put on the schedule?
I don't know about a schedule, but sometime this summer we'll get it.
So sometime this summer. Okay.
I saw him scribbling something down there.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think it was.
All right, thanks. The second issue that came up was, and I'll direct this to the fire chief. One of our constituents was complaining about open burning and indicating that smoke from bonfires and wafting into open windows and that kind of thing.
All they have to do is call it in.
Where do we stand? What is the regulation with respect to open burning?
Well, there is allowable open burning in different aspects of it. Agricultural burns are allowed to happen for the clearing of land. Those are legal and available.
I think this is more like backyard bonfires.
Limited by size,
okay.
Like 3 foot by 3 foot by 3 foot tall. Is a limitation. I have a pamphlet in my office which provides the guidelines for open burning, but there's a timeline too when open burning is restricted from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Now, from 6 p.m. till 6 a.m. in the morning, it's available again. But, that all is also right from the Division of Forestry and the guidelines for that. So.
Okay, if I can pick up a copy of that pamphlet from
you,
that'd be great.
Mark, it's also on the fire department website.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it is.
Great, thanks.
You made a copy of it and just posted it.
Okay, great.
No, they are not. Yeah, the burning of rubbish and the burning of waste is illegal. That is not allowed. So if we get a call and we're going to a residence and they're burning, maybe a brush pile with incorporation of trash, then we will extinguish it, and they are instructed to clean it up.
The burning of the trash is unacceptable.
That is totally illegal.
The burning of the brush?
Like I said, you are allowed some entertainment fires. And,
okay.
And they have to be limited, they have to be monitored.
Okay, all right. Several constituents are concerned about underaged, unlicensed children driving ATVs, golf carts, mini bikes on the roads.
Good luck.
Well, I talked with Sheriff Tharp, and he did have Captain Lucky call me as well. They explained that off-road vehicles are permitted to run along the easement between the edge of the road and the telephone poles. And they are permitted to go from trailhead to trailhead, so they can cross the road or they can travel on the road to get from one off-road location to another off-road location. What it comes down to is if a deputy sees an underage individual driving on the road, they can stop that individual, then they can deliver a traffic violation. That's probably not going to happen, because as soon as somebody sees a patrol vehicle, I think they're going to head across the field where they cannot be followed. That's all they can do formally. Now, they did indicate that if a resident knows that, okay, at this house, there this kind of activity happens a lot, they indicated that a deputy could be asked to make a courtesy visit to that home and to counsel the parents and the youth that here's what's accepted, here's what's not acceptable, and at least to make sure that they're aware of what the laws are in the community. But that's it's really going to be probably come down to a coaching matter.
Yeah. I don't know how the Metro Parks does it, but we got a bike path down by us, and the kids from Elmore, they used to just run it. And boy, they're not on there at all anymore. Because they must ticket them or something, catch them, whatever, but boy, they're not on there anymore.
Okay.
Because the deputies, the majors ain't going to let them get away with it.
Yeah, they don't.
They told right away.
Yeah, that's what they got to do, take them away. No, they won't do it. Whatever they're doing it right.
I don't know how they do it.
Okay. Okay, all right. Well, those are the couple of issues that I wanted to bring up. Okay, thanks.
All right.
That four-wheeler was really a tough one.
Oh, yeah.
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 It is.
That all you got, Mark, on
yes,
your
sir.
Stuff for Nate? Okay. Last thing I got, I gave you guys a copy of this. I just got in the mail today, was the citizen advisory. The EPA has issued a Class 3 modification of the hazardous waste permit for EnviroSafe. So EnviroSafe is not going to be shut down anytime soon. So.
I thought when I read the paper, though, it only gives them a couple more years, though.
Oh, does it?
It's not much. I was surprised. Okay. They had it in the blade.
That's all I've got for our last one. So, Dave, I think you got some stuff, don't you?
Yeah, I got some stuff. Kenny Belkoffer stopped the other day and dropped this off to me, and I gave you guys all a copy. I guess look it over, and I guess when Linda comes back, we can make a decision if we want him to do it or not. Or
I'm assuming we'd set a price that would be high enough for us to recover the cost of the commission.
Yeah, he's got
plus the value of the mm-hmm. property. Okay.
Yeah, he was going to say $7,000.
Yeah, $7,000 is a pretty big chunk of that.
Yeah. There's nothing left, hardly.
Yeah.
Right. He says he has to do that because he's working for this company. By the time they list it and everything, that's just the way it is, and I don't think you get any cheaper.
That seems like a lot of commission. But.
Yeah, it does to me, too.
What's the property? What address was that?
It's not on here.
It's not on there.
Up at the top?
Is it? Is that, or is that
no?
That's his. That's his.
Put it on gun deals and sell it that way.
Yeah. So we have to think it over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he's got lots down there too, and they got sewer, and he's had them for I don't know how long, you know.
And he'd do good. Kenny's a good guy.
He's got them all.
Yeah. Okay.
He's got all the lots down there. He knows everybody, and yeah. So even if we don't make a lot, if he can get them gone and we get them on the tax mm-hmm. rolls, I guess mm-hmm. that's better than yeah.
Were they vacant lots or?
Yeah. I don't remember the address.
I don't have the addresses
Linda
either.
Had it.
Lakemore?
Probably Lake, yeah.
521. Is this the combination of those lots?
Yeah, they there were three of them that got
521, 517, and 513.
It sounds like them.
They got put together, and now they're a buildable lot.
And there's sewers there.
And there's sewers.
Where at? What road? I mean,
well,
Lakemore.
I don't have that. Linda's got it.
Lakemore.
Okay. Okay, I guess.
So we were trying to get to where we're going to make some money on them instead of just.
They're not real buildable in the floodplain.
Well.
But you got it. Yeah, this floodplain. Yeah.
You want to spend a fortune.
Yeah.
But they're big enough.
They're not real buildable.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing I got going for them is sewer. The only thing I got going for them is sewer.
But you couldn't have a bag of the building.
I agree with you. Okay, the state water, we talked about that in Cedar Point Road, trying to get Mr. Sheehy to talk to Mr. Ford down in Finley to give us some money, somehow give us something for pumping their water. We sent them pictures and everything of what they're doing, so Mr. Sheehy can understand a little bit. And I guess the Brown Road and Turno there, maybe we'll get it done. If Steve said he could do it if it was a little bit wet, so maybe we'll get that dug out here in the near future. We'll see what happens. I'll talk to Steve tomorrow, and I guess I'll have to catch Burkhart too. Problems on Teachout and Seaman. The county sent pictures of the little dike that gets put up so the farmer doesn't get flooded, John Hansen, and they're trying to secure the water, and the county doesn't like it because we weren't telling them all the time what was going on. It stayed there too long. People would complain. So I kind of talked to everybody, and we come to a consensus that we'll talk to the county more, and we'll try and handle it better. And I guess that's where it's at, you know. I'm just
okay, so trying to get everybody. So the residents will continue to protect their mm-hmm. property.
Yeah.
The county will allow that, and the residents will make a better effort to keep us informed and keep the county informed.
Yeah, yeah. So you've got
the fire department needs to be informed whether or not our road is closed.
Right.
Okay. And we'll do that too with you then.
But I have been getting informed. I'm just telling you.
Okay.
If they do get organized where they're going to put it out an official, Seaman Road is officially closed again due to flooding, you know, that would be the best thing to see.
And I think I mentioned it last meeting, we're still talking about putting a thing like at Howard Road, maybe using our grindings or something, and making a hump there permanent, you know, to help stop the water. And Panuski, he was at least receptive to it. He says, yeah, because we're having so many problems down there. We would like to put, like we did on Sachs Road, out at Hanson's there at the Cooley, put a flapper there with a tile, but you can't do that now. The water's too high, and this is the only thing we could do is maybe build that up. And I offered our grindings to, maybe if we could get it done or whatever has to be done. So that's where we stand there.
The bottom line is, once that gets to that point, that's not drivable. That road isn't drivable halfway to Yondota.
It's even flooded a little bit tonight. The sewers,
right.
It comes now, up the sewers.
Yes,
yeah.
The water was terrible.
Yeah, and I'm surprised. I know the one guy who lives down there, he says, he can't believe the people use that road all the time. You know, I wouldn't want to go down that way, but they do. It doesn't take much wind, and it's all flooded, just like that, yeah. You probably use it a lot, or?
No, but I know it's flooded.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
buy it, but.
Yeah, you probably use teach-up, probably, to come.
Right. Yeah.
That water is always high. I mean, it's always ready to crest over there. I mean,
Yeah. The best thing that ever happened when Grotto bought that piece of dirt there, and he cleaned that ditch all the way to his property and stoned all that. And you could tell when lake level was down, the water moves pretty good. It really helped when he did that. Kevin, if we ever do that out there at Hanson's, that flapper and that tile, we're going to need one hell of a lot of dirt. I was going to say, if they're going to clean ditches, let's start us another pile out here, because it's going to take a hell of a pile of dirt to help plug that off. And I guess the township hall, we talked about that. Oh, tire recycling. June 8th at Wade High School. It's from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. You can take 10 tires on. The rims are on or off. Doesn't matter. No commercial tires. The lady from, I forget, the same lady, Julie, yeah, here it is, Julie Riley. She's the office manager for the Lucas County Solid Waste Management District. They're the guys that helped us get the bid for the garbage. And she says they don't check. She says, so you can go in there, David, and they don't check, she said. I confirmed that with her.
Can you read that one more time?
Yeah, it's tire recycling, June 8th, Wade High School. 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 tires or more, on rims or off, but no commercial, you know, no truck tires.
Yeah,
or tractor tires or anything like that.
Who's sponsoring it, David?
Lucas County Solid Waste, probably.
No, it's kind of the city of Toledo, but Solid Waste has something to do with it.
No, yeah. Solid Waste has got any money in it. If you're a Lucas County resident, they can't do anything. If it's just the city of Toledo.
But maybe that's what she meant. But she said they won't refuse you. They don't check her. But the reason I got in it, because I asked her, because, you know, there's no money for us for tire recycling. So I asked her, you know, because I had his number, her boss. And then she came up with this. She gave me a list of different places to go. And I said, well, okay.
Well, and that's what I did the 1 year for ours. I ended up getting money from, I think it was Shaw, who's in charge of the solid waste.
Yeah.
And they had grant money. And that's why the Toledo Zoo was having it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they weren't getting any friggin' tires. No. They kept going back. And so the guy at the called me and told me about it. He says, hey, they have money laying here, you know, if you're interested in doing another one. And that's how we got the last one.
Last one.
That the township didn't have to pay for.
That's why I called her, to see if they had any grants or anything laying around. So. We'll have to call her next year and see if there is anything too again.
Because you also had that paint recycling too.
Yeah.
That worked real well too.
They're also, I think you guys got the letter on it too. That it's that sewage maintenance program. It's at the Oregon Library, June the 11th. The only reason I thought we should go, there's some wording in there.
that I don't know if they're trying to put something down our, the back way on us or something here. Where's the wording at? Here it is. Attendees will learn how the household sewage treatment system operation and maintenance program will be phased in throughout Lucas County. So now they're trying to phase something in. Mm-hmm. So that's when I read that, I goes, maybe we better go.
When is that, did you say?
That's June 11th at the library, 6 to 7:30 p.m. Tuesday. Is that Tuesday?
That'll be the second Tuesday.
That, otherwise, I thought it was just they were going to talk about leach.
It's a meeting night for us.
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
From 6 to 7:30. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we should get somebody to go there.
Maybe we should.
Maybe I could sneak in there or something, or, and then you guys can run the meeting. Maybe I'll do that.
Get that, and then have you come in late.
Yeah, I'll come in late.
And report out.
Because I'm just afraid they're going to shove something down, some rules or something.
Yeah.
Be interesting.
Wouldn't surprise me with the algebra loans and everything.
I thought somebody better be there.
A halfway job in the first place, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a sewer right in front of my house, but I can't tie into it because it's high pressure line.
One question for you, Kevin. I forgot. When you were talking about all the culverts, did they power wash the one culvert out?
I did not see them. Steve said they were going to do it.
Yeah, the day I
broke down last week.
Last Friday or something.
No, we already did part one.
They did.
I think it was last Tuesday or Wednesday when they had a breakdown, they were going to do it. When they're digging tomorrow, I asked them. But he told me again the other day that they were going to try to do their on Temple also for the
truck.
So, but I don't know for sure. He just told me that they were going to do that in the afternoon.
Yeah, they were going to do it the one day when I took him to see something at church. They're going to do something there. So, okay, that's all I got. Let's go do what we got to do.
Right. Well, what do you want to do, any participation first before we go?
Yeah, let's do it so everybody can leave.
We got to go into executive session here tonight. There'll be no decisions made, I can tell you that, prior to it. But we want to get public participation out of the way if anybody's got anything that they want to do now before we move to go into executive session. Seeing none. All right. I move to go into executive session. I have to read the whole thing. Okay, so it's discipline. Okay. So go into executive session. Move to go into executive session to consider the appointment, employment, dismissal, discipline, promotion, demotion, or compensation of a public employee or official, or the investigation of charges or complaints against a public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual, unless the public employee, official, licensee, or regulated individual requests a public hearing.
I'll second.
Roll call, Dave Bench.
Yes.
Bo Miller.
Yes.
Mark Sattler.
Yes.
Ocean Karen. 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 Ocean Karen.
Just one.
Okay. So
that's right, we gotta close the meeting, don't we?
Yep. So we moved to reopen the leave executive session. No decisions were made. That's my motion. And reopen the regular scheduled meeting.
I'll second that.
Roll call. Dave Bench?
Yes.
Mark Sattler?
Yes.
Bo Miller? Yes. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I second it. Roll call. Dave Bench?
Yes.
Mark Sattler?
Yes.
Bo Miller? Yes. All right. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Adjourned at 8:56.